and older, from 18 to 180. If you're older than 180, you can't vote. It's a lesser-known clause in the Constitution. So some of you feel over 180, but you're not. So if you'd hold up your hands, then the ushers will come and hand you a ballot, and then you can put your hand down. I'll just make sure those get handed out. While that's being done, have a good bit lined up for this year. So if you come, you should not be twiddling your thumbs. One thing to note, Jim Serralo and another set of hands or two are going to be working on the tree right outside the auxiliary sanctuary door there. Just some trimming, not a lot. So there's some branches that are touching the telephone wires. We'd like to get those taken care of. Looking maybe to give it a haircut on the side that is near the field to cut down on that shade a little bit. If you notice, our farmer friend has some stunted corn out there. We can't fix that all together, but we can maybe shave things back. Jim, did you want to jump? Okay. All right. All right. He likes small corn then. Okay. Maybe it's dwarf corn. Maybe he's experimenting. Thank you, Jim. So with that, Jim's going to try to get to that right away. I know sometimes we have that initial start of the guys right after men's fellowship. Please be here, men, if you can, for men's fellowship as well. And then people start to trickle in a little bit later. But we just want to make sure that we're careful around that area. Again, we're not looking to do major work out there, but we'll put some cones up. We'll have some people kind of policing. But while they're out there working, you'll want to avoid that side sanctuary door until they're done. And just want to keep an eye on the kids to make sure we're not drifting over that way. We're looking to clean up the line over here where the parking lot meets the grass on this side of the church. We're doing that to get ready for the paving project. So we'll be cutting a nice clean line, pulling back some sod, putting in some stone there. You saw the big pile of stone out back. We're looking to move that around as well for the back parking lot. We'll be paving this here, hopefully, in the spring. I mean, we will be. I mean, the spring looks like the time that we'll be done. Some organization in the shed, down in the cleaning closet. We need to hang a new paper towel dispenser up here. Clean up the boiler room a little bit. Definitely some painting. We're looking to prime at least up top here and do some painting down in the Sunday school room that adjoins the library, Bob and Jody's room. Looking to do some touch up there. So again, plenty to be doing. Jody Wanger is going to be handling food that day. Sandy and Brian will be away that week. She may be coming to you, asking about chili, in the next couple weeks. Just give you a heads up on that. Any way you could help her out would be greatly appreciated. And if you can be thinking about the kids this year, it's one that I feel like I'm never as prepared as I'm as prepared for the workday as I'd like to be. The kids are definitely one that I feel, especially like I need to do better with that. Diana's been great, to grab the kids and get them going on some of the tasks that, are more their speed. I don't know if she's going to have all the hands this year, that she can usually rely on just based on, births and things that have happened. So if you could maybe get with her, if you're willing to help guide the kids. And also, if there's any way, I'm going to try to take some along with me. I always lose my clipboard on the workday. So I'm going to take some along to be my clipboard holders. I'm going to rotate some in and out. And I'm also going to take one along to be my runner, because I'm always running for things that people need. And I'm like, if I could, I don't want to do that much work on the workday. So if I get people to do that, then I'm pretty much free and clear. I'd like to be able to involve them in that. If you can think of a way that you can grab, hey, I'm going to be doing this task. Obviously, if it's super skilled, if it's dangerous, that's not going to work. But if there's something you could grab a kid and pull them in on, it's great to try to keep them involved. I really love, Diana's been big on that, on training them to be doing the work in the future. And I just don't want to, it's sometimes it's hard with a whole pile of them to try to keep them moving there. So any way that you could help, I'd really appreciate that. Any ideas that you have as we're leading up, I'd appreciate that too. This is also kind of the last run-up to get any projects in that you're seeing that maybe we haven't gotten on the list. I will be leaving Friday for vacation. I'll be coming back right before Sunday the 5th, or I'll be coming back on the 4th. So you maybe direct some stuff toward Pastor John David in that intervening week, or Trying to think, Jim Sorallo would be another good one to throw projects towards, so he can let me know when I get back. And then as we move up, I will try to have by Sunday the 5th, I will try to have a final list up on the bulletin board. I keep forgetting to mention some of the memorization helps that Cindy has gotten on the website. So as far as I remember, Cindy, from your email, we have recordings of Psalm 34 and Habakkuk 1. Anything to add to that currently? Okay, and then you have the printer-friendly PDFs of Psalm 34 and Habakkuk. So if you want to download and print, if you play those audio recordings off the website, they'll play on a loop, or you can download the MP3 files if you want to throw them on your phone or other device. So check that out. Lots of other stuff on the website, too. We're coming into cleaning schedule time. I haven't broached that with my wife yet, but as we move, she usually November starts moving toward that. So hopefully all that are currently cleaning are ready to go and tackle another year of that. Anyone who's not, if you're willing to help out, we always love newcomers. And if you're just kind of toeing the water, I'm not sure if I want to do this or not, you know, you can talk to us. We can let you know what it involves. Typically, it's 3 weeks a year. So that's not cleaning for the entire week. That's one time that week. So three times a year, maybe is a better way to say that. You clean the church, and she's really good about trying to keep people working in teams. So it's not just, you know, one or two people. We do our best with that. She does her best with that, I should say. So please come out. As usual, if you're seeing supplies getting low, you can direct that towards Sandy. If we need things to be restocked. All right. Do we have a final count? You gave me the final count. All right. 31 yes, 0 no. The budget has passed. And thank you, Brad, I am out of here.
About those, the annual report has some of the breakdowns. Get familiar with that. Remember, I've told you before, usually people don't give care at all until they lose trust in something, and then all of a sudden they're like, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Where'd this go? And it's much better to have an idea what's going on, even when it's not perfect, so that you're aware of where things are going and what we're heading toward, even when there's holes in things and it's a little sloppy. We're moving towards certain goals, and hopefully the things we talk about here are reflected in our budget. 2 Timothy 3:10 to 17. You're in 2 Timothy 3. 2 Timothy 1. Retain the standard of sound words which you have heard from me in the faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Titus 1, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. What's Paul concerned about? He's concerned about doctrinal drift. Words and definitions that shift. You remember I've been bringing this quote up the last couple weeks here, from Richard Niebuhr, who wasn't himself the most conservative guy, schooled in liberalism, but as he saw what was happening in the early 1900s, he read Jonathan Edwards and some others, and he looked at it and he goes, no, there's a danger in the social gospel. He said, it's social gospel. It used to be focused just on how we were going to help give aid across the world. How do we help people in need? And it became very physically, materially oriented. But this was the message that led to those horizontal actions. Social gospel's message is that of a God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross. You think about that. There's so much in there that I'm thinking through how you and I act, because I'm looking for how do you end up at that place? Because you all look at that and say, that's not true. Well, then how does it happen? What does drift look like? Well, that's what Paul was concerned about in Timothy. And we asked that here the last time we were together here. How does this drift take place? Well, when we end up looking for the easiest natural path. I don't know how your day was today. I was praying for you. I said that's been a thing in the last year or so, that when I think I'm having stress, things are fighting against. If I wasn't the preacher, I'd think twice about why I was coming tonight. And I thought, well, then you're wrestling with that same thing. So I'm praying and saying, Lord, help us. Help us to have something that is of value that helps us to press forward. So how does that drift take place? Easiest natural path, where there's not as much effort required, where there are little eyebrows raised or opposition, either from you, from them, both inside and outside of the church. We usually don't want to make waves. We want something that looks reasonable. So if it's reasonable, we don't give it a second thought. Something that's successful. We all want to be part of something that's good and that's growing, and that's we want something we understand. I get it. We don't like being in a place where things are all over our head or seem irrelevant. Doctrinal drift takes place when we look for the easiest natural path. When we pay more attention to what is right in front of us, people, words, and feelings, rather than words or examples from the Word of God. I'm thinking about Carl Truman's short book called Strange New World. And he's saying, what has happened in the world and how are Christians responding versus the final, sufficient, trustworthy, eternal Word of God? No, we got to pay attention to words and examples given from God. How does doctrinal drift take place? When we find alternate purposes inside God's purposes. Now, this is the 13th part of this series here. We only do it twice a year, but I think it's so essential. It dovetails with what we've been talking about in Sunday school for a couple years, the ideas we've been doing in membership class. If you're lost as we talk here, please ask for the notes. They'll be online. The main message, though, that we're saying in these congregational meetings is that it's dangerous to ignore where we focus as a church. It's dangerous to ignore where we focus as a church. Where are you focused? Where are they focused? Where are we focused? Where are you focused different than where the leaders are focused? It's dangerous to ignore where we focus as a church. What's our identity? What's our purpose? Individually and together, we need to be able to answer this. Look at 2 Timothy 3. Now you followed, Timothy, you followed, 3:10, my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions, and sufferings, such as happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra, what persecutions I endured. Out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. But evil men and impostors will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. You, however, continue in the things you have learned, become convinced of, knowing from whom you have learned them, that from childhood you have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. What does this look like as we look about the pulse of a congregation? Think about this. If you just find this is John going on a theme that I don't know what he's talking about. That's very good. We're shepherding souls in a direction. There's something that drives that's more than just personalities. That there's something underneath. Where are these passages heading? What are they guarding against? What does this look like in our individual lives and then together? So we've been working off the statement in here that the why leads to the what, which drives the how. If you remember from a couple years ago, we showed I put up a TED Talk on that up there, and we talked through what all this means. The why leads to the what, which drives the how. The why has already been determined if you're a Christian. There's a dividing line. The dividing line is God himself. Are you in fellowship with God? Are you under him? Have you been given the Holy Spirit, and there's proof of that in your life showing that you are regenerate? You are either with him and regenerate, or you are against him, proved by being under someone or something else. God is the why. So if he is the why, then he determines the what. What are God's goals and purposes for his people? And that's where we worked on these. If we do nothing else together, the collective people of God must, okay? And we worked through each one of these at different times, okay? And again, these aren't inspired, which is why as you own these. We're not quite there to owning these. I need you to see them enough that you sit there and go, well, what about this? Even Nine Marks, Dever did his updated version of that, he changed some of those nine marks, all right? He added, I think, prayer or missions or whatever and combined a couple others or whatever. So the nine marks there, he was just saying, these are important things. Well, the same thing here. As we work through these things, worship God together, Romans 15 says, so that with one voice you may glorify God, all right? That was the Jews, the Gentiles, that gets rid of the whole, I don't do well with these people, I don't fit, I'm not their personality, uh-uh. With one voice, you may glorify God. What needs to happen for us to do that? Grow individually and corporately with the growth that comes from God. That's the Ephesians 4 that Pastor John's been preaching on. And protect and defend the name of God, his character and eternal purposes. We just looked at 2 Timothy 1:13 up there, but verse 14 says, guard the treasure that has been entrusted to you. And then it goes on to tell you what to do if people won't stay in line with these doctrines. Own the people and the particular expression of the body of Christ where God has placed you. 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, spread the glory of God. What is needed to head toward these goals together? We can't focus on methods to grow a church, okay? We can talk about should we get rid of the pews and have more comfortable seats. I'm glad we have the bathrooms downstairs. But as we're thinking of making changes toward how do we get people in, we can't talk about the methods. You know, if you had shorter services, okay, fine. We have to have other reasons for shorter services, the why and the what, okay? That if you didn't focus on that, if you didn't spend so much time, if you sang these songs, if you would meet in different ways during the week, those are all the methods. And we must not focus on the methods to fix why and what issues until the why and what are firmly established. Why not? Well, you said some of these things. Methods focus on what we do. You and I care very much about the things that we have to do. We're in a very busy culture. We care very much about what's in our time when we get a free night and what we're going to do with that. Remember that your attitude, your focus, the precision you use, your care, that all reveals a lot about your focus, about where you're heading, what you value. If you're not clear on God's why and God's what, then we're going to choose methods that seem to be godly, but we'll end up with our why and what. If we're not clear on God's why or what, we'll choose methods that seem to be godly, but we'll end up with our why and what. You know what that means? We've said this before. We'll focus on food more than the fellowship. We'll focus on friends who give, do, or excite more than on building co-workers in the gospel from real soul-level relationships. We'll expect people to affirm my thinking rather than to examine my thinking. We'll look for people to cover our character rather than expose our character. We will look for those that will put us in a better light rather than considering how our actions and words reflect on others and God himself. The methods must flow from the why or the what. You know what I mean by methods, right? It's how you distinguish churches from one another. You go, oh, this church is short. This one's long. This one does it the music this way. This one was friendly. This one's methods. The methods must flow from the why or the what. It happens piece by piece, slow and intentionally. So we said we need a couple boundaries or guidelines to ask about our methods. Now, you got to be patient tonight. Sometimes I have a lot of questions. Depending on how far we get here, I have questions later on, but you're going to listen a little while here for this. So collect, and then I'm going to ask you about your thoughts as you were listening here, and I'm looking for them. Even if you go, I don't get it, why is it important? You know, but I hope you can nuance your question a little more than that as we get to the end. So before we get to our methods, we worked on the why, the what, and that's in the past, the notes here. But as we get to the how, okay, we're looking for a few boundaries to guide us as we look at methods. And first we said, does this method show we're focusing on God rather than on us? We're focusing on God, not on us. How does this method show that we're focusing on God, not on us? And then we started on this one here. Does this method show we're focusing on the we more than on the me? Does this method show we are focusing on the we more than on the me? God is creating a people. We've looked at these verses enough, so I just have them up there as I'm talking. He's creating a people in 1 Peter 2. The church is the place where the living God dwells with his people. You are fellow citizens, Ephesians 2, with the saints and are of God's household. God is dwelling, a holy temple in the Lord. The church is the place where the living God dwells with his people. This identity of a people, God's household, God among us, must bleed through each church, each local group of believers. This provides the tie, our place of belonging. If you're part of the church, the universal church, God's people, then you fit. This identity is why there's general commands for all of us in how we act with one another. Romans 12, Ephesians 4, Colossians 3, Galatians 5, all these general commands. And you go, well, and you got to think, is this really what ties us together? Well, we're all called to act a certain way because they focus on our unity, what we have in common. But inside that unity, there's diversity. And you know that that comes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. That though we are one body, we're many members. Many members, one body. The forces that would pull people apart are so great. They've always been so great. Sin's inside of all of us, that pulls us apart. But today, the forces that would pull people apart are so great. Interpersonal, relationships. We don't do well with relationships today. Backgrounds, our focus for life and growth. Remember I told you one of the reasons I left the seminary years ago? Because they said, forget about caring for all the people. You pick who you're going to minister to. Like you're going to minister to middle-class taxi drivers. Then this is what you build your church around. You're going to minister to young mothers. Then here, this is the nursery is central. You do everything the way young mothers want it. They said, and I said, there's something missing with that. There's something missing with that. The forces that would pull people apart are so great. We have different seasons of life, focus for life and growth, different cultural identities, that the forces are so great that disparate people, people that are so different, have to go back to God's why and his what, or else the methods, though well-intentioned, will produce greater focus on me than God's we. I just love my church. And then watch how you finish that sentence. And you think, how does that fit into God's we? So then we asked, okay, so what would it take and what would be needed to avoid the pitfalls of me-centered methods driven by me-centered agendas or identities? Okay? Where should we focus more or less? See, we all realize we shouldn't be selfish, shouldn't be on us. But I've told you again and again, as I go out to other pastors, all right, sometimes we slightly, you know, disagree on which methods to do and how many services and how long they should be in small groups or whatever. Realize those debates go on and on. There's not a silver bullet to fixing these things. Churches are now saying we did small groups and nobody's coming. How do we get back to having a regular service together? All right, they're going back and forth. That's all at the methods level. Okay, so when we talk about me-centered, see, when I go on vacation, Remember, I told you down at the Myrtle Beach church we were at, I would do things slightly different than the guy there, but you see a whole row of teens and 20-somethings. You come back a year later, and nobody's there. There's 14 people there, but there had been a whole lot more the year before. Where'd they go? I asked him. He said, well, the leader decided he wasn't going to do it anymore, and the kids have all graduated. I thought, they graduated, so obviously they weren't sparked to be part of this whole. How do you, and he's pretty discouraged as things change. So it happens subtly. You go, well, you can't make people. I said, where were they tonight? Do you know? And he goes, well, I don't know. Found out some of them were, you know, it's a retirement community down there in Myrtle Beach. So he goes, well, a bunch of them kind of travel a bunch. And I found out, you know, that somebody's been gone for 3 weeks with that. And I thought, 3 weeks? You didn't know they were going up there? And I don't want to put all the blame on him. And nobody knew. Everybody came in that night, that 14, and they were like, whoa, looks like it's a little light tonight. All right? Nobody knew. All right? So this, the me-centered thing, all right? Because I get it. You go, I'm tired. I got a headache. Okay, what do you do when you're tired and when you have a headache? Well, then we need to focus here. God must get what he desires more than us getting we desire it. If we want to avoid the me-centered thing, we've got to think, is God getting what he desires? That means you need to clearly be able to articulate, what does he value? What does he want from us together? Not just from you and your perfect little life or my perfect little life. What does he want from us together? It demands that we include all the pieces God cares about that leads to some methods that might not initially work for you. Do you know what I mean by that? It means it includes the people that he puts in your life. Or 1 Corinthians 12 says the people that he saw fit to put in here. Do you realize if there was a different group of people in here, we'd do things differently? It's not just what you hear from up here. We're responding to where you are at, too. So, yes, there's us. There's a flavor from the leaders. But there's also dealing with where everybody is in here. We've got to include the people he puts here. The personalities, the attitudes, the biases, the fears. But we also, if you're going to care about all God's pieces, you've got to care about the universal church, both present and past. See, do you realize shepherding a child's heart was a reaction against, like, James Dobson's, like, Tough Love or whatever that book was back then? All right? They were all talking about Dare to Discipline. Okay, then finally it was like, well, we got a whole bunch of people that are good at spanking their kids, but why did they spank them? For what? And what I've told you is you spank because these ears weren't open, so hopefully those ears will open up these ears, and now we can continue the conversation of training. You're training. That was the goal. The goal with the end goal wasn't to spank or to punish in any other way, to come up with, you know, torture devices to make your kids listen. It was that you were going to train them. So shepherding a child's heart. But then everybody's like, well, I want to get to their heart. Yeah, but you forgot. If you don't have boundaries and consequences, you won't get to their heart. You need them both. So you've got to think, which part in the universal church, what are we reacting against? And that's where, if you don't know modern church history, if you don't know about the denominations, if you haven't studied the movements, if you only look at what's going on inside this church, you don't realize not just what you see, but why it's that way. Where is it coming from, and where is it heading? The same with past movements, things in the past. I've been reading about Isabel Kuhn to my kids. I found amazing things that made sense to me about the generations before me, and also saw things that have totally shifted. All right, I'm reading about Elizabeth Prentice now. All right, and you girls need to, at least the girls need to read about Elizabeth Prentice. All right, she was known for her book Heavenward. Thank you. That, Stepping Heavenward. All right? And they went. Her stuff disappeared as they talked about she's a little too much of dealing with roles as a woman and a little too submissive for the feminist movement that came through in the end of the 20th century. The beginning of the 20th century. But they said in the 1990s, there was a revival of her work, and all of a sudden these young somethings were gobbling up that book, Stepping Heavenward. Well, Sharon James just wrote an amazing biography about her, and that's the one we're reading. But see, you read it not because these are perfect Christians. Sharon James was just saying, as the more I want to show areas where I believe that she was off, but I want to represent her fairly. With that. And you got to think, where did she get that stuff from? not just she's wrong. And you watch actions and reactions going on inside of the universal church. So you have to, if you're not going to have me center, you go, no. The whole church is fine. We like this better. It works for us. Okay, but we have to be looking beyond what works for us. How do we fit in with the rest of the universal church? And what are they going to have to rebound from if we overstate something in this generation here? So we need to include all the pieces God cares about, which leads to some methods that will seemingly not initially work for you. Including all these pieces will make it seem impossible to get where God is calling us, individually, in your families, or together. Therefore, some of these methods won't produce immediately noticeable results that you or others want. If we're looking for things that are looking beyond, then that you're not going to see immediately noticeable results. They may include, but won't be limited to methods that work for you. And then third, we must think through an eternal lens to determine appropriate value. Colossians 3, set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. That's where Christ is. Matthew 6, lay up your treasure in heaven. What does that look like? Wait, it's just all the times you didn't say bad words? Remember? Watch out for moralism. What treasure do you lay up in heaven? So, and here's where we're cutting new ground here. That's where we stopped. Okay? That you don't have to write that. This is the last thing we did last time. While we should be able to get where God wants us to get as a church through a couple different methods, okay? What would identify healthy, we-focused methods? Or what would show we care more about the we than the me with our methods? So we said it this way, okay? All right, we need something that includes you but doesn't necessarily fit. Unless you're totally sinless, John 17, he said, may they be one as we are one, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. See, we're looking way too small. The liberal movement of the church is always looking for unity among the people of God, all right? If you want the right unity, pastors just preach on it, the unity of the Spirit in Ephesians 4, it's unity with the Trinity. How are you growing in unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit? That's way higher. It's a lot easier for us to try to get some kind of unity in here. But liberalism shows that they lost the unity with the Trinity. So and if you're not sinless, see, that means you've got to look way past the me and all the other Christians I know think this is very helpful. So I don't know where you're coming from, and I'll try to love you and be patient with you, but you just don't get it. Okay? So we want to very much think it doesn't necessarily fit because we're looking for unity with the Trinity. How does this fit with God's goals? We also need to have something that calls us to look farther. If you just go, this works for me, all right, this works for me, then tomorrow it might not work for you. All right, works for you for what? And often we don't think about this, just like I said about the budget. You don't think about the church finances until something goes wrong. Often you don't think about the methods in a church until you're like really frustrated. And you're thinking, why do we do this again? What? I've never heard this before. If you say anything, you'll get a whole earful about it, but none of the other churches are doing it, and they all used to do it. All right, something that calls us to look further. When we feel like it's not working, we need to look beyond what it does for us. Farther than our personality, farther than our background, farther than our emotions of whether it annoys us or makes us happy, even past, look, I can deal with this the way things are, but they're not getting something out of it, or they're getting something out of it. You got to look past that. If you look only at you or only at them, you're not looking far enough. Because if you are only growing because of a current method, if they are only growing because of a current method, then we're not dependent on God alone for life, love, and service. We're dependent on that method. Remember, methods are tools. They're either helpful or not. I've told this. We've made no bones about it. We're going a totally different direction than the LCBC mentality. Totally different direction than that. But I've told the kids, if that was the only church in the area, I could go there and continue to try to seek to build God's goals. It would just be a little rough. It'd be a little rough. All right? So I just want to make that point to say, not saying this is the only place we're asking you to suck it up and deal with it. We're saying wherever you go, these are the things. We're looking for something that's more eternally focused, that's more God's people focused. What was his intent? And we could live that out. Sometimes, I remember that when we first moved to this area, the other church that we were part of for a couple years. And when we got escorted out, all right, I remember one of the guys that was sympathetic to us saying, things are going to be hard for a little while. And I said, yeah, I know they're going to be hard. And he goes, no, not for you, for us. For us, because they were still trying to figure out who they were. It became clarified that we were heading a different direction than they were going. And that was rough, and that took us some years, and we bounced around a little and to get an identity, okay? But we're looking further than just something that brings immediate peace. I remember when that church blew up, dear Mennonite lady that had been there forever, I remember her coming in to talk about the problems, and she said, I don't know what's going on. I don't care what's going on. It feels like hell, and I want it to stop. Well, I felt bad for her, but I sat there thinking, that's the problem. You don't know what's going on, and you don't care what's going on. And if it stops, where were you going? Where were you going? We have to look farther. So we don't want methods. If methods, see the same, well, this works for me and then I lose weight. This works for me and then, okay, they're tools. But again, that's why I'm a little nervous when Rick Warren had, all of a sudden, do you remember a few years ago, he needed to lose weight, so he asked everybody to join him on the Daniel diet. The Daniel diet. And then there was a book and things and all this stuff, and all the church joined in. And now everybody's talking about, how are you doing on the Daniel diet? How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? And we're all growing, right? Actually shrinking, okay? We're all growing by shrinking, right? So, okay, fine. I can. I need to lose weight to the glory of God. And you said, yeah, you do. All right? Well, we got all that. But those, all right, the methods then, we want, how would I do it from the fear of the Lord? You said, well, oh, stop. The methods can help. Yes. But we're talking about life and love and resources that come from God that are not dependent on just a method. We want something that goes, something goes beyond that. All right? So what does eternity do with this issue? What is God thinking about that I'm not? What is God valuing that I'm not? Even when we start to collect these answers, both leaders and members need to think, how are the people in here not like me? What am I expecting of them? What are they not seeing that I assume? What's normal in my life? I'd say, well, they ought to just do this. Well, why can you just do this? Are you sure they're seeing the same things that you are to even be able to do that if they were right? What would it take for them to grow from fear of God, not just fear of you? What are they not seeing that enables you to keep going? You're able to continue, and they go, that's it, I give up on the Daniel diet. But somebody just else just keeps going. What are they not seeing that you are you see that enables you to keep going? We're looking for methods that look for a path forward, not necessarily the path that you are focusing on, that you desire. God's perspective depends on God's resources. Third, something that fellowship with God allows us to grow, to participate in with joyful obedience. You want a method that fellowship with God allows us to grow, to participate in with joyful obedience. What do I mean by this? Whether it works for you or not, all right? People did that years ago. We're doing better with the memory verse thing. Guys, it's seasons of life, but we're looking for a church that's looking to meditate on God's word day and night. That's what we're looking for. Meditate. Across all the different versions, all right? They said that when we got rid of the King James, all of a sudden it made it really hard because there's a million versions and nobody knows what you're talking about anymore. But we want his, Deuteronomy 6, his words to be, you know, when we go walk by the way, lie down, rise up. Psalm 1, meditate day and night. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. We're looking for that. But we're at different seasons and it takes, some of us are disciplined, fit it into our schedule. Others say it just won't fit. And we realize that for you to put something in, something else has to be moved out. And that there's a lot of thoughts that have to go through that to head in the direction where we're looking for you not just to memorize verses. We're looking for you to be able to, what does it say? Let the word of God dwell in you richly with all wisdom, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. So the words you're saying, and that's one of the things we're hoping for. It's a double thing with that memory. We don't care you're learning. We care that you're learning together so that we can talk together about what we got out of those, that how we're living under and by the word of God. So whether it works for you or not, we're able to turn it around for a few times to see, where does this live, this method that I'm not getting? Okay? So Luke wasn't used to the postlude. All right, so he and Michaela came waltzing up here afterwards and just said, where did that come from? I remember people that visit here once in a while, you know. He says amen, and they're ready to bolt, and everybody else is doing this little thing. And they're like, where'd that come from? All right, so maybe you were used to that, maybe you weren't. That's a method. Maybe we should dump it, maybe we shouldn't. But that was a postlude. It was a time that you were going to seal in your heart what had taken place. Said, Lord, help me not to forget it. Remember, I heard John MacArthur and one of the other bigs talking, and they said, John MacArthur said, I think we have glass doors, and I think those glass doors are an eraser, because as soon as people walk through them, they forget everything they heard the last 2 hours. That's what that postlude is saying, wait, this is between me and God. What did I hear? What am I going to do with it? How would I show by worship, repentance, and then service that I heard God's word? And it's going to bring a response. That's its intent. There's other ways to get at that, but that's its intent. So sometimes flipping the method around a few times to see where it lives and saying, hey, well, I do those things in another way, but hey, those general roots, I can support those general roots. I'm looking to glorify God. Well, glorifying God shows that you're looking to God for direction and for provision. You respond to God with obedience. You move. You grow. Okay? God doesn't get any glory if what you do comes from you, because then you get the glory, right? So if God's going to get the glory, it shows that you're responding to God. He's providing something, so they have to look right past you to the God you're looking at, right? So if we're glorifying God, if you're looking at methods, you say, what is glorifying God in this method that I can look to do, okay? Even while I might do that method differently. Is there anything? Because we're supposed to be joyful as we serve God. Remember, we're supposed to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That's an eternal focus. His commandments are not to be burdensome. Practically, what does this mean as we talk about methods that allow us to grow to participate in with joyful obedience? You're looking at them, all right, and not focusing on the sideshow. What's the sideshow? Yes, we've said this before. Everybody needs to wear clothes to church. Yes, we should be respectful. Appropriate. What is appropriate to wear to church? Okay? Yes, you should care for everyone else in here, so you'll notice when we stand out differently. But where, if we're not careful, these sideshows become the main show. Yes, you should forgive people, or people should forgive you. All right? But if you focus on, something happened wrong, I said I'm sorry, and they said it's okay, but it's not, all right? Watch the sideshow. You're right. What's the process of forgiveness? Do you really want people, we've said this about kids, do you want to force a kid to say sorry? Maybe you need to humble them, but if they're not sorry, how do you work their heart? Do people that have wronged you need to agree with you that they wronged you? Or do they just need to, because you think they wronged you, they should ask for forgiveness? These are the sideshows. So, yes, people should wear clothes to church. Yes, we should be respectful. Yes, we should forgive one another. But what is our common goal or hunger or purpose? How do we cultivate that in a way that the fear of God produces the external change that we might see out of line? It's a lot harder to go after the fear of God growing to get to that than it is to just go after what you think is out of line. Focus on the common goal, the hunger and purpose, and on the God who brings change while you deal with the sideshows. Or else those sideshows become the focus. That's the identity in a church. Watch what we stand against. Scripture tells us we face enemies. What exactly is the common enemy that we as a church need to guard against? Is it... do we have to? What will bring us together instead of tear us apart? And think today, COVID did a lot. It unsettled a lot of things. The vaccine did a lot. today, the food things, the gluten stuff, how to handle fantasy and mythology. We're dealing with that. You know, I'm hearing more reports that there's a rise in paganism. Well, then that means as we wrestle with fantasy and mythology, you're going to have people that go, well, it's all paganism. Okay, when you go, no, none of it's paganism. That's well, what is paganism? What is appropriate and what is not? But looking for an exact fix for the government, this Christian nationalism, all right, Reconstructionism, that's a massive movement that's coming. I looked up it's one of the churches where kids came from VBS this summer. Right on their front page, that's what they are known for, is at going to all different gay parades and holding up signs and other stuff. They're very focused on taking back the community for God. And we have to think, what are we standing against? How do we handle in the world but not of it? Are these truly our common enemies or places to focus? Okay, it's a lot to follow. It's late at night. This is very abstract. If you look at my notes, you'll see a progression. And then if you go back through the different times, you'll see every one of those pieces opened up. But think about this. If we want to care about the we more than the me and our methods, something includes you but doesn't necessarily fit, it calls you to look further. You want that in your methods. Something that fellowship with God allows you to grow and participate with joyful obedience. You didn't have to be won over to it. You didn't have to be brought on board. You're in fellowship with God. You're growing in that, and all of a sudden you go, okay, I wouldn't have done it that way, but this and this and this, that's really cool. That's godly. Let's work on that. There you go. What are your thoughts as you listen? What would it take to grow and head in this direction of methods that foster a we more than me? What do you think? What do you think it would take to foster a growth or head in the direction of methods? You know, we got to get rid of the lazy, you know, you can't, John David's going to do what he's going to do, Pastor John's going to do what he's doing, you know, I wouldn't want to say it, but if one of them died, we'll get another Supreme Court justice in there. Maybe we could straighten this place out. You know, you say you don't say any of those things, but the other option is you just come in passively and you just go along with. That's a far cry from you owning it and saying, what is my part in this church? How would I do my part? Not fix everything, but don't see it all as political and horizontal. We got to watch out saying, if I'm focused on me more than I should, okay, then how are we ever going to get a church that's focused on the we that God wants? And how would we know that we're focused on God's goals? What would it take to grow or head in this direction of methods that foster a we more than the me? What are you thinking? Go anywhere you want. Mm-hmm. What? Yeah. Hold it up, Seth.
I mean, myself included, I don't often think in terms of methodologies so much, rather than individual case-by-case situations that I'm involved in. So to think constructively about a God-centered we methodology is kind of a new territory. Maybe for most of us, and so just opening up that conversation, what that would look like, and then talking about it for a while, over a period of time, of course, not just trying to hash it out all at once, but bouncing it around and so forth.
Right. Did you realize, is that becoming an expert on funerals here? And on, I told you that I've been told that there are three major companies that own all the funeral homes now. Just like all the mom-and-pop stores are disappearing, the funeral homes. I bumped into that when I was trying to connect with down in Greenville from up here. And they told me to find a home that was in the system, and it would be cheaper for me. But the more I listened, knowing what Dad went through with Kathy, I thought, well, there ain't no cheap about this. I thought, he had something going over here. I thought, oh, that was the local one. Well, then you talk to the local one, the Groff, High, Eckenroth. Nothing's cheap, and we can argue about that, of what's a fair price for all these guys. But I tell you what, as I talked to him, he said, yeah, they're being squeezed out, as they, just like the farms out west, they're all being bought out by these corporations. But then he said, then with that, there all come all these divisions, right? So the sales division, the marketing division, it was a pretty hard push of, it was all about me, as they talked, to try to help me. But I felt like there was only one thing to do, buy the timeshare, right? In this case, I didn't have to buy the funeral plot that was already purchased, right? It's my mom and dad that have laid down and tried out their funeral plots. You got to do that with them. They went there and laid down on the ground and did the little pose. All right? Yep, right? It fits. It'll fit. Good. All right. But we didn't have to do that, all right? But then as I talked, he said as they go to these conventions, I realized they had a little union kind of independent ones. He said, let's find one of them down in Greenville. And I did. He said, well, they told when they go to conventions, they said, don't worry about when these big conglomerates come in. If anybody calls around a little bit, they'll find out that you can beat them with more personal service, and their rates will usually be better every time. So that was enough for me. I listened. I looked at the numbers. I looked how I was being dealt with. I thought, I'm sold. I'll come to you when I die. It's like, no, somebody else will, right? Right? But as you think, starting the conversation, you see what he said? Methodology rather than the individuals. When you'll talk with people, how do you do church is what they're going to talk about. What about all the people in there? Well, they're just not on board yet. Well, that sounds pretty corporate to me. Okay? That how do you move people? That's why it's very important to me, not just who's right or wrong. Of course I think I'm right. You don't want a preacher doesn't think he's right. But of course you think you're right. We don't want you to not think you're right either. How do people change? How should we change? So we're looking to just start the conversation. That's exactly it. That's my goal here. My goal is like, you're like, what is he talking about? Finally you go, he's not insane, so he's talking about something. Let me figure out what he's talking about. That just starting the conversation would be a big improvement. Yes. Anything else? What are you thinking, Olga?
I'm thinking about two things. So first would be, it just comes to my mind, we talk sometimes about if church would be like me.
Me.
Like,
if every member were like
if
me.
Yes. So what do I need to do in my life? And second is how my personal growth or relationships with God or decisions affect the whole body. Mm-hmm. Just thinking more and more, like everything that we do is affecting everybody else.
Okay, what is my personal responsibility, okay? And then, you know, where am I focused? And you got to be honest. Remember I told you that Don Whitney book, 10 Questions to Diagnose Your Spiritual Health. The point is, if everything you go, check, I'm growing, you're not focused where 1 Peter 2 is focused. You're not focused where Ephesians 2 is focused, where Ephesians 4 is focused, where 1 Corinthians 12 is focused. That's focused on how your individual growth affects the rest of us. Okay? So, Hannah Wenger gets engaged, right? Yay! Right? So what does Hannah do this week? She calls me and says, how will the dates that we choose affect the rest of the people in here, right? And I said, you're doing this so I don't get mad at you. And she laughs at me. I said, look, she said, no, just everybody else has a lot of things going on. I don't want to try to, I can't match everybody's, but what can we do to try to think of how it affects others? You appreciate that, right? I appreciate that. And if you go, forget it, Hannah, you can't get married. Well, come on, that's not nice. So meaning, forget about Hannah and a day on your calendar. You talk about the gay thing? This is where we put in our vote for saying marriage is God's. And this is right, man and a woman. There they go. We come around that and go, yes, yes, right? Beside the fact that she grew up here, right? I still remember the summer trip we were on when we get the phone call. Said she was born, right? Right, right, right. Megan got that call. Yep, she was born. She's been here her whole life. She called and asked when it would fit for you. So what's my person? Where am I focused? Yes, don't you do something just because I tell you to do it or because Pastor John. You got to separate where's our personal opinion and from where's our elder responsibility. But you also need to think, well, I'm going to do what God told me to do. Well, I'll tell you what, we're all going to be affected by you doing what God told you to do. We're affected. You go, good. Okay, well, watch how you say that. I feel the weight of anything we push you toward, including this. I know you're tired. I'm hot in here, so I feel like I'm falling asleep. Well, if I'm falling asleep, well, you're probably falling asleep. And you're thinking, why? Why? I hear you. And it's that important to me. This is it. So what is my personal responsibility? Where am I focused with this stuff so that you can grow toward the whole? And anything else? What are you thinking? Yeah, go, Jody.
Similar to that, I was thinking, as you were talking, that it has to begin with my personal relationship with God. Obviously, my why has to be right.
My who?
Why.
My why?
That it begins with God. I could be encouraged towards these things and buy into them and believe it, but it really has to be between the Lord and me. And mm-hmm. when you asked how do we change by the Holy Spirit. We change by learning to know His Word more and being changed by His Word. We change by that personal relationship with Him. So if I'm not nurturing that first, right. I won't be able to do this.
No, this is key. Do you get this? This is why we talk about slow and awkward. We're not just talking about politics, all right? We've talked about this. How long should we, should the leaders dress up, all right? Do you know this isn't just whether you should dress up? Do you know a lot of the times it changes? The leaders will tell the rest on the pastoral staff, you're not allowed to dress up because if you do, you'll make the people in the pews feel uncomfortable. It's all about them feeling comfortable. Well, then how do you determine whether we should or we shouldn't and then have the freedom to wrestle with this on our own? She's right. It's your personal relationship with God. We have so much fear of man in here that we can't help it. Even when we go, well, that's it. I'm doing it on my own. Or you go, fine, whatever. We'll do it their way. We're not looking for a buy-in. We're looking for growth that comes from God that till we all attain to the unity of the faith. You go, yes, but we're all different. You ain't kidding. How does that work in your marriage? You don't want to keep stomping that to your spouse. Yes, but we're all different. You know it too well that you're different than your spouse. What does one flesh mean? That you're going to have to look to God if you're going to get that, or else somebody's giving in to everything. We're not looking for puppets. We're not looking for a buy-in. We're looking for life that comes from God. That all of this, we more than me, okay, is going to have to say, what is He looking to build? That's why I'm going to be able to see in things that I don't agree with, go, well, that's God. That's God. That's God. You don't have to have the whole thing that just feels right, that just flows. Maybe your life growth with God isn't feeling right and flowing. And that's a lot of this deconstruction movement. And deconstruction is not a bad term. Deconstructing, you're going to look in there and go, woof, I don't think I had a solid foundation. Well, good. Take it apart carefully and build it on Christ by the Holy Spirit. We're going to come to that. That's one of my next points in here. What would prove that growth in here is really coming from the Spirit? Okay, so I'm sorry, Cindy. And then Nicole, I don't see the mic. Go, Cindy.
What I have to say kind of goes with what Jody was saying, mm-hmm. that we have to own it ourselves and see our common need of Christ and the gospel and our theology. We live it out daily, so taking it's worth the effort to be intentional and to think about more about not just that we know something, but how does it apply to our lives? How are we living this, and where our lives don't come in line with what we say? Well, obviously this is true, and just because I know it's true, doesn't mean that I'm living it. And
yeah.
Because our lives we kind of live under different assumptions, or we don't even think, we just live or live based on other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nicole.
When we're thinking about methods, I mean, you said this in part in what you were saying, that we're not looking for answers in those methods. When we become dependent on, like, the method, and when the method fails or falls apart, so do we. Mm-hmm. So in addition to that, when we're looking for answers in method, those are normally personal answers that we're looking for. A fix, something that is going to make me feel better, something that is going to make me feel more secure, something that is going to make me stop doubting. And so when we're no longer looking for just the answer, the fix, and instead realizing that methods mean continuous, changing, and that I'm never going to stop all those things. I'm never going to just be completely perfect and fully trusting in God and never have another question in my life and just be comfortable with who I am because I'm a sinful person. So if I'm, instead of looking for that fix, I'm looking for just a continual growth. We can't grow alone. We talk about, like, plants and everything needing roots and everything, but okay, there's also a lot of plants that their roots are tied in with each other. The only way, like, we think about weeds choke off flowers and stuff like that, but, like, there are a lot of flowers that have root systems that covers the ground. Ivy is something that continues to spread just because it continues to grow not just above ground, but underground as well. And so that's not just, like, one plant. It's everything else tying into each other.
Right. God is building a people. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about that. That's why it says if anybody messes with God's building, God will destroy you. And he says you, plural, are God's building. All right? Then you look at that in Ephesians 4. So that's where you have to think through how does my... We're paying, not just for where you and I mess each other up, but we're paying for all... Lancaster County is filled with, I don't know how to call them, rogue Christians. They're just out there on their own, in between churches all over. But see, whatever they do in Jesus' name affects the rest of us too. Or affects what people think of Christians. The point isn't they're always wrong and we're always right, or you're always right and I'm always wrong. The point is that we're carrying Christ's name. There's one Lord, one faith, one God, one Spirit. That same Spirit then is working towards, she said, the common. All right? Is there a couple others? And then is the mic out or no? I'm sorry. Here it is.
I think we have to have a conviction, a baseline conviction, that this is somebody else's kingdom. And we don't know how to do it. So, like, you have to come into things.
I got it.
Mm-hmm. You have to come in with things saying, I can't just rely on what I would normally do to build a church. I mean, you think Jesus came to a distinctive people who had a law, who had dietary regulations, who had special ways of dressing, who had a land that was set apart to them. And he still had to call them into a different way of living. Some of that was going back to what was in the original intent of the kingdom that they were part of, but some was beyond that. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. So I think a lot of what happens is, you know, we come in to a church with expectations that are built on the fact that we're human beings who, you know, can see a certain cause and effect in the relationships that we're already a part of. And we just kind of carry that over. And we think the same methods will work here for how we do everything else, how we work in our families, how we work in our job, how we deal in society. So if you begin by saying, I should be dubious of the fact that I know how to do this from my gut level, well, then you're going to start looking for directives and guidelines and commandments, And if we start to take the things that are said in the New Testament, I think the whole Bible, drawing the pattern for the church, if we start to take those things seriously, and if we take seriously, where Paul says, consider one another as more important than yourselves. If we take seriously, I'm drawing a blank on some of the, living in forbearance with one another.
Okay.
Don't steal anymore. Instead, labor. Give to other people. Like, so it's the idea here that if we say we should not assume that we know how to build this kingdom, then we're going to start looking for the ways that Jesus told us to build it. And that's going to drive us to the kinds of we methods that we're talking about. It's because Jesus is concerned about having a collective people, not a bunch of individuals, but a collective people that function together. So I think that's simple, but I think that's the best way. And I'm not looking for us to grab one verse from Scripture and say, oh, this is the way to do it. We had the whole, prayer of Jabez craze, 10, 15 years ago. I'm not looking for that. I'm not looking for, we've been doing it wrong all these years because we didn't find this one verse in Hezekiah 10.
Right.
But what I'm saying is if we say, we should not assume that everything we're doing is really a Jesus method. Well, where are those methods? Well, they're here. How do I find them? It's a lot of verbal throw up.
No, do you get that? And that's why we said as you go into new areas, you find a million church buildings, right? And what do you find? They're empty, and there's all these other people meeting in these factories or other places, right? New churches starting. They're always thinking, let's start again. The hardest thing is to do what he said, is to pick through. Even those people saying, this is what God told us to do. We are Abraham's children. He goes, then do the deeds of Abraham. He's telling them, he didn't say, throw it all out. Go back and look again. That's what we're asking you to do. Don't you dare. See, when they say, we don't want a celebrity pastor, you got to think through that. When they say, because if you're not careful, you go, I want to like my pastor. Well, that's all you get with a celebrity pastor. I like my pastor. We got a good pastor. Yeah, fine, you should like your pastor. You should like your brothers and your sisters. You should like your church. Very careful what's driving that. And that's what he's saying. Be dubious about thinking, I already know how to build God's kingdom. All right? Then go back to what has been given. Careful, or you're going to end up at the same place again. All right? You know that. Remember in the old days when you used to balance your checkbook? I think most of us are old enough to still think that's a good thing to do. Those younger than us aren't doing it. All right? All right? But when you balance it and it's not balanced, right? You got to do those numbers frontwards and backwards. You got to just keep looking because you know it's in there. Right? It's there. You can't say it won't balance. It will balance. It's there. And that's what we're saying. Though he said that you be careful about prayer at Jabez is that just all of a sudden become a silver bullet. On the other hand, go back. Remember, it was revealed to them that they were serving, not serving themselves, but you in these things in which they made, what did it say? Careful search and inquiry? Something like that. 1 Peter 1, 10 to 12, right? Yeah, something like, forgive me. Yeah, paraphrase. Okay, we're about done here. I've got three more points on here, but we're about done for tonight. We're about to pray, but I want to cash in on this. I don't want to come back to this. So what else? Where is it? Go, Charles. And if anybody else, what, two or three, and then we're going to quit. Go ahead.
This might be a combination of what Tim and Cindy and Jody were saying, and I don't mean to muddy things, but
yeah, everybody else too. Go ahead, say it.
Just thinking about how the applicability of the New Testament commands, and just to get specific with like the subject matter of the confrontation, like how do you deal with it when you think somebody did something against you?
Yeah.
And I think that it would help if maybe the person who's not willing to yet say, I don't know if I really did do something wrong there. Again, you learn to go to Scripture and say, this is the verse I'm thinking of when I'm saying I don't think I quite agree with having to apologize.
Yes. Are you willing to show your, I don't know what to say, your papers? How about that, right? The more you get in a country where you don't trust the police, where everything's a mess, right, you have to show those papers, right? And you lose those papers and you're in big trouble, right? The more mess, you can't say there's a mess in the church in America, right? The fact that there's so many house churches, cell churches, I get it in China, I get it in places where it's hard, but here in America, there's no need for that. You see it every time you come to Lancaster County, there's concerts all over the place. There's church services all over the place. How come you can fill these places with that and all the churches are blowing up, okay? Well, if we got trouble, if there's chaos, you know what you got to do? Show your papers. Stop being so defensive. Show your papers about why you know you're regenerate. Don't get upset if somebody asks you. That's what we need to know. Are you in or aren't you? Not judging. I just need to know who's in. Help me. Help me with that. How can I help you? The same as if we're going to work through confrontation. Look, here's where I'm focused. This is why I can't yield. I don't want to be stubborn. On the other side, you won't like it if I just agree with you and I don't really. You'll call me a liar. When next year I go, whew, I don't agree with that. Why did I say I'm sorry? So, like he said, you're going to have to do the long work of going back and figuring out why it's so natural for you to follow God in this way and go back through his means. He said, well, bring up the verse. Bring up a few verses. It might take a little while. It slows things down. But you know what you end up with? A foundation built on the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone. So be willing to, I don't know how to say it better. I'm going to say, show your papers. Show your papers. Okay? Okay? Is there somebody else? Or we're done? Okay? God's word, all right? The, you know, church history, please be careful. The word is the one. But we do need to realize it isn't just what goes on in here and the three other churches you've been a part of. There's something much bigger than us presently as well as before us, all right? You got to think through all that stuff so that could keep going. Was there anybody else?
Something that you mentioned on the tail of what Tim said was about the verse about they weren't serving themselves, but those is like, how much of these conversations do we really think about long-term impact and vision rather than just for our congregation right now in the next 6 months? But what's it going to look like in the long term, like for years to come?
You know why? That's why I'm willing to cash in any coupons I have left with you for these things. I know I frustrated you guys, some of you, for years. I'm focused on what happens after I die. That's where I'm focused. I might be wrong, but that's where I'm looking. Everybody's trying to have a good, healthy church, a good, healthy family, good, healthy marriage, a good, fulfilling job. And that, if you're not, we're so narrow. We're talking about an eternal God with eternal purposes that go beyond us. Any Christians meeting in Iran tonight or Egypt, they're part of us. You go, yeah, that's why we need to get over there. Get over there and tell them what? If you don't have this stuff clearly articulated here, it ain't going to be clearly articulated there. Clear it out here. Do it right where you're planted. It's not that we're the only church. I hope every church is doing this. This is what we need to be doing. So the long-term impact or vision, what does that do? This is why we're saying, if you know, just be slow, and it takes time. You do that, you know, first I thought this, then I thought this, then I just realize you get wound up at home, all right, and at your work and at different things, okay? The same things have to go on with the church. We are so in a consumer-based society, all right? Right? My kids are always singing, BK, have it your way. It just keeps, yeah, see? All of you guys are so holy you don't have TV commercials like we do. So if I get rid of that, but it just runs and it runs. Have it your way, have it your way, have it your way. No! No! Have it his way, right? That's what you say, right? You go, well, it's John David's way. Well, if it's not John David, then whose? Careful. Foundation of the apostles and the prophets. God's methods include not getting it right away, faster or slower than we want, depending on where we're at, because we need to care about all he wants and all the people he gives, which complicates things. Much is inherited. Why are we slow to get rid of things that were inherited? I've told you 1,000 times, Pastor John and I, there's very few things that are unique. We can touch something that we've seen somewhere else. And that's important, not because we aren't unique, okay? Every pastor's unique. Everybody puts these, just like your marriages and homes are different. but much is inherited. Why are we slow to get rid of things? Because we don't have a clear, articulated foundation in the gospel with clear gospel purposes. Therefore, we're slow to change, or else we're going to change based on ourselves and our culture. But this is, some of it comes from a foundation of what we receive. So you look through the current how at this church, the current methods. Where do you see attempts at these focuses, even in things that you might see as not being a big deal? And ask God for growing desire for fellowship with him and dependence on him so that his kingdom will come and his will be done, because that's the chief desire of our hearts. Okay? Now, January's going to come. We're going to do the annual report. And then we come back in April. You want to get rid of it? Let it go. Let it go. There we go. Come back in April. We're going to look here. Helpful guidelines for diagnosing the effectiveness of methods seeking to accomplish God's purposes. Does this method show we're focused on the task assigned by God, not the climate desired? Bunch of questions. And then we're going to come to this one. Does this method lift up not merely the results, but the Holy Spirit as its source of life? Heavy stuff. You did well. We'll come back to this. The PowerPoint will be up on the website. We'll do whatever it takes, including in Sunday school this next week. I'm going to throw some QR codes up there, and we're going to see those that know how to use QR codes, all right? Come on. There's many ways for you to get this information. But right now, you need to take anything you heard that grabbed your heart and pray about it. Can we do that? Then we close. All right, about 10 minutes, and Pastor John will close. All right, go ahead. Mics will be coming around, so pray loud and